Hello and welcome to the Snap UK podcast, your weekly review of all things NFL by those in the know on this side of the pond. My name's Johnny Frash, and this week on the pod, we are bed frere, some may say, although some may say, original recipe, as it's just me and Griff. But some significant games this week, and some non-significant games, which were insane amounts of fun. But let's dive in. Importantly, Ravens 31, Browns 15, in a game that clinched the number one seed and ensured the AFC road to the Super Bowl goes through Baltimore for the first time in their team's history.
Firstly, I'm going to pick you up on bedthread instead of threadbare. Well done.
Oh, yeah.
It is written for you.
It's.
I had to check that. I didn't write that wrong.
I haven't spoke for a few weeks, it said.
Yeah. So this was a good game if you're a Ravens fan and you've basically secured your way to the Super Bowl, because no one is coming into Baltimore and beating the Ravens. It's customary to keep using the microphone, sorry. John. It seems like the change of venue has thrown you somewhat.
Just a little bit, but no, it's...
The change of venue and the lack of anyone else here. Say hello, everyone else. Nope, they've all taken Christmas off. Just us.
Yeah, it's just us.
This is how it started.
It is, just us
with no life.
Can we talk about Funhouse again?
We can talk about Funhouse. We can talk about anything you like. But firstly, we'll talk about Lamar Jackson continuing to have a record-setting season.
He's now set it because he's not playing next week.
Is he not? He's out him next week. So RG3 gets a chance to remind us that he's not as good as Lamar Jackson.
This is
a good thing for RG3. I'll be looking forward to seeing him. Of concern, though, the Mark Ingram injury, calf damage. They need him for the playoffs.
Oh, yes.
So this double bye that they've secured is the best thing.
Yeah.
Because they won't be the same team if he doesn't play.
And they do seem quite hopeful on him being back for playoffs as well, don't they? So.
Yeah, I mean, and I gather it's not a massively significant injury. However, he did look in some pain. I don't know whether it is distorted by the fact he weighs a ton when you're trying to walk on an injured calf. I don't know if that's different to if you and I damaged a calf and it perhaps wouldn't look quite the same. I was fascinated to see how quickly the Browns collapsed in this game. It's basically like they really had the opportunity to stuff the
really
Ravens.
They were going at one point, and then they just stopped.
Because they are rubbish.
Not very good.
Because they are awful. I refuse this week. You'll see nowhere in your running order does it mention how terrible Freddie Kitchens is.
No.
Because I'm refusing to discuss it. We've done it over and over and over. What I want to discuss is Baker Mayfield and whether or not he is easily rescuable from this situation by another coach, or is this Baker Mayfield? So is it last season's most rookie touchdowns, 27, Baker Mayfield, or this season's turnover machine, Baker Mayfield?
I still think there's a player in Baker. I just think giving him to the, you know, the thumb.
Let's do it without mentioning Freddie Kitchens.
I think a decent coach,
okay,
would unleash the player that Baker showed hints of being last year. I don't think it's all over for him. A lot of better players have had bad seasons and come back from it. I think there's a player there. I just think that it needs proper coaching, which he's not getting where he is quite now. And unfortunately, it seems where he'll be get what the coaching he will be getting next year, which worries me.
Yeah, I think
2 years of this, I think he could be done for.
I agree. I think it could be all over for Baker. You know, he had 9 games last season where he passed for 2 or more touchdowns. He only had 5 this season. That's some serious regression. And the turnovers has just gone through the roof, which is a problem. I definitely think it's salvageable. Definitely think he's a talented player. But I also think he will only respond to the right type of coach, and they're probably only going to get one more shot at getting this right.
Yeah.
I think if he spends another year under the one we're not mentioning, or say 2 years under another coach he doesn't get on with, it'll be over and he'll be out of the league at the end of his 5-year deal. And that you know, that's very Manziel-esque.
Yes.
And nobody wants to see that, right?
No, it's such an easy comparison to make. And it's not, because they're different type of players. They have similar levels of confidence.
Too much.
in themselves.
Too much confidence.
And possibly too much confidence. But yeah, I don't want to say, because last year he was so fun.
Yeah.
And also, I'm not sure if it's coaching. I'm sure everything that comes out of Cleveland just makes you think the whole situation stinks.
Okay, so speaking of things coming out of Cleveland, Odell Beckham again jarring with the unmentionable coach on the sideline.
Yep.
Will he be there next year?
Beckham?
Yep.
No. I think player power, I think he might get force his way out.
See, that's blown me, because I was hoping you were going to say yes, and then I was going to tell you why he was going to leave. But for the sake of argument, I'll tell you why he's going to stay, because I think of all the players in this team, it's not Baker, it's Beckham that may get a say in who the next coach is.
Possibly, yeah.
Baker might get some input, but Beckham is the star draw. Beckham is the player that makes Cleveland make money. And for him and the team, they need to show a united front in order to make that money. So they may say to him, who do you want?
Yeah.
Because it would make sense if you're going to keep him as a face of the franchise. At the moment, Baker is not a face of franchise type of player. Beckham still is.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's why he might stay. However, my initial inclination is if they can get a decent draft pick for him, a 2 and a 3, something like that, he'll be shipped out again and they can keep building, because he's not actually been the weapon they required. You know, the 3-yard receiving touchdown at the weekend was just his first red zone touchdown this season. He just isn't targeted enough in the red zone, even in the sort of final third of the field at all.
I mean, I'm not going to pretend to be sad about it, because, you know, he left us. but
you don't hold any grudges. That's the main thing.
Well, if there's players that can leave, but they leave on
good terms,
mm-hmm. and they don't spend their final year and probably year and a half just making it impossible to keep them.
No.
And that's what he did. So I've got no...
All right. On the more positive side, let's talk about some of the Ravens players and the stats that they're putting up. So Lamar. We'll start with Lamar, because why wouldn't you? Lamar has 8 career games with 50 or more rushing yards and multiple passing touchdowns. Do you know where that puts him overall in the Super Bowl era? So since 1970. He's 6th overall already. 6th already. That's insane. He has 8 games with 3 or more passing touchdowns this season, which leads the NFL.
Yep.
And he's the 3rd quarterback in NFL history with 35 or more passing touchdowns and 7 rushing touchdowns in a single season. Can you name the other 2? One of them is not Michael Vick.
Newton?
Yes. And?
Michael Vick.
No, one of them is not Michael Vick.
The other one is?
No. Neither of them are Michael Vick.
Rushing touchdowns.
7 or more rushing touchdowns and 35 or more passing touchdowns. Played for the Titans.
Young?
It was Vince Young. And remember how quickly he flamed out when people figured him out. So I'm just saying, bit of a warning there. And the third player I feel, the second player that I feel deserves a mention is Mark Andrews.
He's been brilliant. Yep.
He leads tight ends in Ravens history with 10 touchdowns in a season. And I believe he's got one or two other tight end stats. I think he's the 3rd overall tight end for scores this season, behind Kelsey and Zach Ertz,
probably,
I think.
Yeah.
He's basically been an outstanding weapon and is the opposite to Beckham in Cleveland, in that he gets all the looks. And finally, Mark Ingram, this is why he's so important, 15 touchdowns in a single season, is tied for franchise history with whom? I'll give you a clue. He punched his girlfriend in the face.
Oh, Ray Rice.
I've never seen someone so delighted by Ray Rice.
Well, you know, thinking, I know who I want to say, but I don't want to be saying that name. I know there's a few names we're not saying to this episode. I don't want to be saying him.
Yeah, well, you know, that's how good Mark Ingram is and how good Ray Rice was before, you know, that. Which is why I believe someone once drafted him in the 1st or 2nd round in fantasy and then watched him get suspended for the league. Can't remember. I'm sure that happened. Okay, so the Browns season is done. The Ravens are marching in as number one seed. Last week, I think we were debating whether or not they're going to be favourites for the Super Bowl. They are favourites for the Super Bowl, and rightly so. The only remaining for the Browns Kareem Hunt or Nick Chubb, which one is the better all-round running back?
Chubb. I love. Give me some Chubb. All I want in my life is more Chubb. I think Chubb's brilliant. Kareem Hunt, I think he's merely great.
I think that's fair. The reason I ask is I wonder if there's space for both of them on the roster next year.
Possibly.
Because I think Chubb should be in play on every down he's on the field.
Oh, gotcha.
And the only what that would leave for Kareem Hunt is mop-up duty, where he's maybe getting a dozen snaps or 20 snaps maximum a game, which is not enough for a player that wants to be a star again. So I do wonder whether he'll get squeezed out. But they need to try and keep him. I think keeping Kareem Hunt might be as tricky as keeping Odell Beckham. And I'll be surprised if both of them are on the roster next year.
I would be surprised, but Kareem Hunt does have some coming back to do from his previous issues.
Hence the link to the Ray Rice question.
Yeah.
Right. So the Steelers in the AFC North are locked into the sixth pick for the playoffs. Oh, and all they needed to do was beat the dogshit Jets. And they didn't. They browned it up. They lost 10-16 to the Jets. They're still alive in the playoff race. Very much going down to the last game of the season. The biggest thing they might have done here is they might have saved Adam Gase's job.
Yeah.
Because I think the Jets have now won 5 games this season, which is the most they've won since 2015 when Ryan Fitzpatrick nearly got them to the playoffs. So I suspect Adam Gase just saved his job on the back of the fact that the Steelers didn't have a quarterback. Devlin Hodges was terrible, threw a couple of picks and was dropped at halftime or just before halftime?
I think it was halftime.
And Mason Rudolph came out, threw a nice touchdown.
Yep.
Didn't do a lot else, got crushed on a sack and was immediately replaced by Devlin Hodges and is injured and will not play this coming week. This is a problem for the Steelers because Hodges looked all right when he first came in a few weeks ago because no one had ever seen him play. And now they've entirely figured him out. He has massive limitations and it's similar with Rudolph. The limitations are different because their arm strengths are different and they're different mentalities of player. I think Rudolph is going to be a very, very, very poor homeless man's Brett Favre.
Yeah,
and Devlin Hodges is a very, very, very poor homeless man's Alex Smith.
Okay, yeah,
right. Imagine if Alex Smith turned the ball over all the time. That's where Devlin Hodges is, and I quite liked him, but you know it's not working. Which one of these two is the Steelers' quarterback behind Ben Roethlisberger next season?
Got to carry on with Rudolph. I think he's just there seems more upside with him. I know he's had some. He had a bad run, but Hodges has just proven that he's just third choice at best.
And,
isn't he?
And either of them potentially succeeding Ben Roethlisberger, or is it back to the draft?
Back to the draft for them, I think, or free agency.
I'm inclined to agree. Do you remember Le'Veon Bell?
Yeah,
this was the Le'Veon Bell revenge game.
Yes,
and actually he started off all right. He had a couple of runs for sort of 9 yards at a time. And then disappeared. I think he ended up with about 70 yards in the end. Still no 100-yard game this season.
I mean, at one point he did lose 50 yards on a run, didn't he?
Yeah, it wasn't ideal. He's been a disappointment this season, as with the entire Jets franchise. Is he another player that could be well out of the door at the end of the season? Because Gase didn't apparently want him in the first place.
I think so, yeah. I mean, there was really strong rumours of him going... Was it? I can't remember where, but in the... trade deadline. I can't remember where the...
One or two places that were after running backs. So it was 72 yards, but he did have 25 attempts. That's only 2.9 yards per carry, which is he's getting into fourth and inches territory there.
It is.
It's not ideal.
But at least they were using him. Because often, you know, it was when you go, he got 11 yards, but on five plays, and you're like, duh.
And it's 6 wins. I did Gase a disservice. They're 6-9. Which is, considering how they started, not so bad.
They've also, haven't they lost to Cincinnati, Miami and Washington?
They certainly lost to 2 of those. Are they the only team to lose to the 3? Yeah, I think they might well be. Yeah, I mean, look, I wouldn't give Gase the time of day, but I suspect he's done enough to keep his job. I don't know who else is out there. This is the point Gary often makes. Yeah. Who do you replace him with? Again, the team, the Jets in general deserve credit for sort of doing anything under a poor coach, but they've left it too late in the season for this. And with a supposedly star quarterback, the same as the Browns have with Baker, you've got to have more by now. This is the problem. Gase is supposed to be good with the quarterbacks. He couldn't get anything out of Tannehill, and look what he's doing now. I'm not sure he's going to get much out of Sam Darnold.
No, he tried to... In case you get that, he seems to have personnel issues, doesn't he? He tried to force Devontae Parker out of Miami, and look at him now.
He definitely clashes with people.
He seems to clash with Tannehill, and he's doing really great stuff for now. So I wouldn't touch him with a barge pole. But now, you know, now he's in. Do you go with a better the devil you know?
I suspect they will. I mean, it's good for us New England fans because one less team challenging us just means the Bills are the only real opposition there. But I mean, the Steelers have still got hope next week. They play the Ravens.
Yes,
they play the Ravens,
who are going to be resting
players. So effectively, it's two B teams matching up against each other.
What you have the brilliant Steelers defense going up against RG3 and some backup players.
Yeah, you'd think that the Steelers might have the edge on that.
Yeah.
But it's all about their own quarterback, because even the Browns' B team of defensive players are going to be enough to pick apart Devlin Hodges' game.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when they know that it's him that's going to be playing. There's no mystery. We know Rudolph is not going to be playing. So, unless the Steelers are going to pull another quarterback out of somewhere, which they're not,
no.
You've got to imagine these Ravens players, bottom of the squad players who are battling for a place in the playoffs to show what they can do, they're going to be picking them apart.
Yeah, they want jobs next year as well, you know.
Well, that's it. So my suspicion is that even the Ravens B team will beat the Steelers. We'll cover that towards the end, but I think they've left themselves too much to do.
Yeah.
And I feel for them, because I think the defence deserves to be in the playoffs, but the offence does not deserve to be.
There's half a team there that deserves to be in the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we'd take them on several of the other teams. But it's a bit like New England, where the defence definitely deserves to be in the playoffs,
yeah,
and the rest of the team sucks.
So, should we move elsewhere in the AFC North? The Bengals had a chance to wrap up number one in the upcoming draft. And despite their efforts, right at the end, they nailed it, guys. They are number one. They lost 38-35 in overtime to Miami. And this was the first of the Pooper Bowls.
The Pooper Bowls.
That means nothing, but was just insane fun.
Ryan Patrick's now thrown four touchdowns for seven different teams. That's impressive, right?
Yep.
419 yards, four touchdowns, and the obligatory interception.
Of course.
Can't have a week without an interception. 31 of 52 passing. Absolutely amazing. He only rushed for 9 yards this week, which is somewhat disappointing now. But he didn't really need to do any running because the Bengals couldn't stop him through the air. So,
yeah.
You know, how this game exploded into a thriller, I don't really know. I suspect it's because Andy Dalton also had a really good game, 33 of 56, the best part of 400 yards himself and four touchdowns with no obligatory pick. You know, like, this is two quarterbacks looking for jobs next season. I suspect Fitzpatrick is back as a bridge to whoever the new guy is. I think the Dolphins would be foolish to let him go. And this is further evidence for me that Dalton, playing with just nothing other than Joe Mixon, 21 attempts, 50 yards rushing, and I suspect he had some catches. He had 2 for 23 yards off his two targets. But other than Joe Mixon, he's got nothing to work with there. Tyler Boyd turns up every other week. He had a good game this week. Nine receptions,
catches.
128 yards and two touchdowns, but he's not a wide receiver one yet. He can be, and it looks like he'll have to be, because AJ Green's gone on to IR,
yep,
which is a very late call for that. It's just ridiculous. But he won't be back next year, and this will be Boyd's chance to step up. Now, he looks like he's got the talent, but he needs to do it weekly.
Yeah.
And to do it weekly, you need a quarterback who can feed you the ball. And part of the reason Tyler Boyd has struggled is because Dalton was dropped for half a year. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. The number one pick is definitely going to be a quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Unless the Bengals trade it away, which I don't think they will.
No.
I can't see them. It's going to be Burrows, I suspect. He didn't seem that pleased. but, you know, other than that, I mean, Tyler Eifert's a good player. You keep him on. John Ross has potential. You keep him on. But they're not then it's not a great squad. This is not a team that suddenly next year is going to win 6, 7, or 8 games.
This isn't zero to bottom, zero to top, you know, team, is it?
It's I don't think so.
No, they're
and I'm not impressed by Zach Taylor.
No.
And do you know what? Last time that they stuck with a coach for a bit too long was Hugh Jackson, and that wasn't that long ago.
Oh, God.
So, you know, it concerns me that... last time we saw a coach stuck with for this long was Hugh Jackson with a poor run. It concerns me that the Bengals are browning this up.
Yeah.
I don't like the way it's being done. And I have to credit Brian Flores for turning the Dolphins around. This is not a team that was... looked like they were going anywhere at the start of the year. It looked like they would out-tank the Bungles. And, okay, 4-11 is not a great record.
No.
Not by any stretch of the imagination. However, 4-11 with that team, when you've got Ryan Fitzpatrick and Devontae Parker and then a bunch of people that could have come out of our school yearbook.
It was after that first week when they like, didn't they lose by 60 points or something to the Ravens?
They got turned over. They conceded 42... They lose 42-0 or 42-3 or something.
Something ridiculous. And you're like, oh, yeah, this team may just be the worst thing that's ever happened. And they're not. And it's credit to them. They've turned it around, bizarrely by shedding more players. There was a point where when they conceded 16 points in the last couple of minutes to get it to...
That wasn't ideal.
I was like, oh no. But I think Flores has done a fine job.
We got two more touchdowns out of tight end Mike Gesicki, who's finally coming good.
Yep.
Red zone weapon. So that's another building block. And we also got a big man touchdown, Christian Wilkins.
Yes.
With a 1 yard catch. One yard catch to take into the end zone. Was he the heaviest player to score this season? I think he might have been the heaviest.
Not because Vita Vea is still the heaviest.
Ah, okay.
He's the heaviest person to score ever.
Right, okay. He must be the heaviest player to score for the Dolphins.
Yes. He's 27 pounds heavier than Wilkins.
Wow. You'd done some research on fat people.
I researched fat guys.
I mean, well done you.
It's more fair to call them fat guys. They are fat guys, but they could run the 40 yards.
It's all right, they're not going to chase you. Well, yes. Yeah. I don't think they're going to catch you. It's fine. Parker's gone over 1,000 yards for the first time in his career.
Get in.
So that's good. Yeah, I'm pleased. And I hope that the rebuild happens quick enough for him to be a star. Because where would you place him in the number one receivers? So there's 32 teams, so potentially 32 number one receivers. Where is Parker? Is he in the top 10?
I reckon he's just outside it.
Go on.
Yeah, Julio. Sorry, this is me.
Doesn't
get in my head.
Okay, this season.
So Julio, Hopkins, you've got...
Amari Cooper,
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. Cooper Kupp.
He is
technically the wide receiver.
He's a wide receiver one. He's great. He's just been let down by his quarterback.
I'd take Parker over Edelman. Not a shocking thing to say.
I'd take a Parker.
But there's lots of players I would take Parker over. I think he's more gifted than a lot of players.
This year, we've not had, you know, obviously we've not had Antonio Brown. We've not had...
We had him, briefly.
Yeah, we had him for a game. We haven't seen much of like Smith-Schuster for injury. So it's hard to judge. But yeah, I think he's put...
I would say he's on the bubble of the top 10. I would agree with you. And I think he's still ascending.
Oh yeah, he's still young.
So next year he could well be inside that top 10.
I've got Evans and Goodwin.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean. Evans, you'd say, is a better player without doubt. But Devontae Parker's every bit as good as Chris Godwin for me.
DJ Shark has had a good year. But he's much better than DJ Shark.
Yeah, and we were just talking a minute about AJ Green. See, I'd say Parker's right up there with anything we've seen out of AJ Green in the last couple of years.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just... this was a good game.
Should we do that next week?
Should
we rank our wide receivers again? Because we did that last year.
Just say that again for me.
We shall plot our wide receivers. We did that last year.
We did.
Antonio Brown came out number one. And so
because we didn't realise quite how crazy he was.
We forgot Michael Thomas.
Oh, yeah. Don't mention Michael Thomas. I deliberately didn't script any of this. I wanted to see what you actually thought. Yeah, Michael Thomas. He's been okay.
He's been all right.
Let's Devontae Adams.
Yeah, I forgot him.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty, but I deliberately didn't write it down because I wanted to know what your initial thought was. And see, my initial thought is Parker is every bit as good as most wide receivers.
There's like five or six elite guys. Mm. You've got the Hopkins, Thomas, etc. And then there's a sort of a mass of probably about 10, which he's fairly in the middle of. So he's probably on the bubble of the top 10.
Okay. We should talk about another game with zero playoff meaning, which occurred on Sunday. Your lot, the Giants, took on the Redskins in the NFC East clash between two rookie quarterbacks. And this was an epic 41-35 in favour of the Giants. Fair to say that the future looks fairly rosy for both of these teams if they can sort their defences out.
Yeah.
They seem to have their quarterback positions nailed.
I generally watch our offensive plays sort of head in hand, watch between the grips of my fingers. But I was so impressed with Haskins.
Yeah.
Compared to the bloke who came out, 4 weeks ago and was...
Pony?
Well, yeah, it was Pony. He looks... I think there's a bright future there for that guy. I think he's been really impressive.
He'll be delighted to have your endorsement, that I do know. Tell me what you think about Danny Dimes, apart from he's got a stupid nickname.
I can't get past the nickname. But it's easier for Danny Dimes as well. Because Golden Tate, I mean, I was pleased we picked him up in the off-season. It's a shame we didn't have him for the first few games because of his PED issue. But I think Danny Dimes is doing all right. But then Eli looked all right the week before. I don't think offense is our issue. It's the fact that we have a sieve as a secondary.
Do you know, it's over 2 years since the Redskins scored 27 points or more in consecutive games. It's 2 years. It was weeks 10 and 11 in 2017. Adrian Peterson wants to come back next year.
Let him.
Absolutely. Geis is not going to be a 16-game player. 111 rushing touchdowns now for Adrian Peterson. It's fourth overall.
Gone past Walter Payton, hasn't he?
He did go past Walter Payton. So going into the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Undisputed. He'll be right there behind Frank Gore. be queuing up together. Daniel Jones, this was an interesting one. Daniel Jones, 28 or more fantasy points in 4 out of 6 road games this season. But 13 or fewer fantasy points in each home game. Is he under pressure in New York? Too much pressure in New York?
Possibly. If I was to make a comparison to the Premier League team, New York at the moment seem very much like Arsenal. There seems to be strange amounts of pressure for a team that hasn't done much for quite a while. And that the home... I do think the home support... he is a rookie quarterback. He will fumble. He will throw it to guys.
Yep, the other team. Yep.
Yeah. And I don't think it helps when I can imagine you follow the support on Reddit and Twitter, and they're just so quick on his back. I don't think it helps at all.
No, I'd agree with you. But Jones has tied the rookie 4+ passing touchdowns in games record. That is a lot to put together.
Yeah.
So there are two other players that have basically thrown as many 4-touchdown games in their rookie season as Daniel Jones. One of them is Deshaun Watson.
Ooh.
Who is the other one? It's a long way to think back. 1950 we're going back to.
Fran Tarkington.
Yes, Fran Tarkington. Good spot. We ought to talk about Saquon. Really turned up big in this game. So he had 22 carries, 189 yards and a touchdown. He also had 4 receptions for 90 yards and a touchdown. This is the Saquon you need to see every week for the Giants to be successful, right?
Yes.
And this bodes well for his relationship with Daniel Jones.
Very much so. It's just we'll relate it back to fantasy. If you picked Saquon early on, unless you're in a loser league, you won't be in the final. But if you did get there, he just won you the final. But he's probably just won a lot of people 5th place.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. I I've been disappointed in him this season. I'm surprised they were still playing him, but I like the chemistry between him and Jones. I think it bodes well for the Giants. Like I said, right at the start of this section, these two teams, defense. Oh, yeah. They have to pick up defensive pieces in order to have any success next season. I mean, okay, Washington haven't got all the pieces on offense either. They've only got Scary Terry, Adrian Peterson, and Geis when he's fit. You wouldn't say there's a lot else there. But, I mean, at least they've got Jeremy Sprinkle, which is one of my favourite names in the league. I just assume he stands there just taking a whittle on the side of the pitch.
Scary Terry, is he in your looking for offensive rookie of the year?
He won't win it, but he deserves honourable mention.
Yeah.
Because, mainly because he has a great nickname.
Superb.
Way better than Danny Dimes.
Oh, God.
And imagine what this team would have been without him. They've been diabolical.
They've been awful. They'd have been so bad. But, you know.
I think he passed the Redskins rookie reception record as well this week. So, you know, they're 3-12. Everything's going to change. They're going to have a new coach. The whole scheme could be different. And that could work against them as well as with them. But at least Haskins is showing signs of improvement. Because don't forget, earlier on in the year, we were told he wasn't picking the playbook up at all.
Oh, yeah.
And he now looks like the talent is coming to the fore. So let's say that he's there and it's going to be semi-successful at least. Scary Terry. We know the running back situation. Defense. It's exactly the same on the other team. It's all about defense. I mean, if the two teams manage to get that going, the Eagles and Cowboys are not that far away.
No, they are.
Which is worrying for the Eagles and the Cowboys, who we should get into that game.
Yeah.
Because they played each other. This was the game where the Cowboys sewed up the playoff spot and left the Eagles to rue a disappointing season. Only it wasn't.
It wasn't that. They didn't do that at all.
Because the Cowboys lost 9-17 against the Eagles in Philadelphia. And we're going from one of the most interesting and fun-filled games of the season in the Giants-Redskins to one of the most boring, dull, nullified matchups that I've seen in a long time. The Eagles came out punching, but
they did enough what they needed to do. They scored, and then they just didn't let the Cowboys.
It's the first time the Eagles' defense has stood up.
And they relied on the fact that they have a risk-averse manager, head coach, who on fourth down doesn't go for it.
Absolutely. No, I couldn't understand. It was twice they didn't go for it on fourth down, fourth and one or fourth and inches. And they really...
One was like a fourth and five. But still, it's the playoffs at stake here, mate. You know,
well,
it's... You know.
We said the other week the Cowboys have only won 4 games in 5 seasons when trailing at halftime. They've now lost 20 straight games when trailing by 10 points entering the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That's a lot of games. And they just don't have an ability to come from behind.
No. And I don't know. The rest of the NFC should be concerned, because no one should want to go to Philadelphia in January and play in the freezing cold for your first game of the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how good the 49ers, whoever are, compared to going to Dallas under the dome, I would not want to be in Philadelphia. Chicago last year, they play outside. They still, no one likes to go to Philadelphia.
Oh, I agree.
So,
I thought it was key that Wentz outplayed Dak in this game. So Dak, 25 of 44, 265 yards. No touchdowns, no interceptions. Went 31 of 40, 319 yards and a touchdown, no interceptions. Wentz did enough, basically, to say, look, I'm outplaying a guy who early in the year was in the MVP running. But also key was the fact that Miles Sanders, 20 rushing attempts, 79 yards and a touchdown, but also mass prevalent in the passing game again. 5 receptions for 77 yards. And I think he's the fifth, or he's either the fifth or sixth player all time. Fifth rookie since 2000 with 500 rushing yards and 500 receiving yards, alongside Bush, Bernard, Kamara, and Barkley. That's the sort of company that Miles Sanders is keeping, and it's been very quiet.
Compared to the guys that the elite running backs, even like a Mixon, in they get big plays. You know, Barkley had a 67-yard touchdown this week. Sanders doesn't do that, but it's constantly, it's totting up.
Yeah.
It's impressive. Really is impressive. And he's just what they need.
Problem for the Eagles going forward, Zach Ertz cracked some ribs.
Yeah.
Dallas Goedert turned up, though, and made it look like Zach who?
He's
whether or not he can do that in the playoffs against better opposition, I don't know. But 9 receptions, 91 yards and a touchdown. That's impressive for a second-string tight end. He's been a good player all season. But he'll be expected to do a lot more than just block now.
Yes.
This is a team that already, we discussed last week with the Greg Ward revelation. They've got no wide receiver.
They've got nothing.
Goddard was their lead receiver. Then Saunders. Then our favourite Greg Ward, 71 yards again. Then JJ Arthega. Sounds like it's been spoken by Chris Eubank. You know, I don't think either of these teams is troubling anyone in the playoffs.
No.
Like you say, I'm not sure I'd want to play Philadelphia just because of the weather.
Just because I don't want to play.
But I don't think either of them are really a threat. And it's more a case of just having the honour of being in the playoffs.
If it's Philadelphia in the first round, they are not getting past the second if they go through. As soon as they go back to stadiums, they're out.
The other thing to note here is Jake Elliott, the Eagles kicker, had the opportunity to make this look like a very much a lopsided win. He missed 2 field goals from inside 35 yards.
It's not like him.
No, he's been extremely consistent this season. I think he's kicking just under 90% until this game.
Yeah.
So, you know, this was a bad loss for the Cowboys. We've said it a bit like Freddie Kitchens. We're not going over the Jason Garrett thing again. But it shouldn't even matter if they squeak into the playoffs. This is not a successful team for the money that's been thrown at it and the players that are in the squad.
For, you know, you've got the most expensive running back,
yep.
The most expensive offensive line.
Yep.
You know, and you just don't trust them at fourth and two. Just ridiculous.
Despite being held to fairly low numbers on the day, Gallup and Cooper have become the first pair of Cowboy teammates to each have 1,000 yards receiving in the same season since 2012. Do you know who they were in 2012?
Bryant?
Yes.
I can't think who else was around then.
He's still around now.
Not Beasley.
No. Still playing for the Cowboys. Silence on a podcast is never good, John.
Oh, shit.
I see your brain turning over.
Witten?
Yeah, Jason Witten.
Bloody hell.
I know. Still there. Still. I mean, I didn't see how he did this week. I'm not even sure he's worth a mention. 2 receptions for 14 yards this week. That's about right.
Yep.
I tell you what the Cowboys do need. They need more out of Tavon Austin. He had a really good game the other week when they won. 1 reception for 5 yards this week. It's just not enough.
Great.
They've got to get him involved. They've got to have everybody at full speed in order to make any impact at all, in my opinion.
Elsewhere in the NFC, the 49ers stamped their authority back on the NFC West with a last gasp win over previously resurgent Rams, eliminating last season's Super Bowl losers in the process. Garoppolo, he didn't start particularly.
So he had 3 quarters of dross and then was excellent at the end. I mean, That's okay. There's nothing, you know, that happens. There's nothing particularly wrong with that. And this is on a day when he tied Roger Staubach, Kurt Warner and Pat Hayden for the 3rd most wins for a quarterback's first 25 starts in the Super Bowl era. So let's credit that, because I've been told off for not crediting him things this season. But yeah, the issue here was that for 3 quarters, Jimmy G was basically Mitchell Trubisky, which is not enough for the Niners to win. Game-winning fourth quarter. He's been excellent. It's basically was a very Brady-light performance where you don't turn up for most of the game and then do enough to march your team down and win at the end. He has been able to win in all circumstances this season. So let's credit that.
Yep. Well done, Jimmy.
Yeah.
The Snap UK stamp of approval.
Yeah, he had a lot of help with the Fred Warner pick 6. Fred Warner's been very good for the Niners this season. A bit of an unheralded hero for me.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, the whole defence is brilliant.
Yeah, they've struggled a bit recently. They've only had one sack in, or I think they'd only been averaging one sack a game for the last four games. So they're not getting the pressure they were at the start of the season, yeah. But the secondary seems to be getting better, even with Sherman in and out of games. Like I say, Fred Warner, I think, has been excellent and probably has helped take some of the pressure off of Richard Sherman, which has allowed him to play better when he has played. So I thought significant from this game, apart from the fact the Rams were eliminated despite being on the rise, was Jalen Ramsey getting his first INT as a Rams player, because they need him to be a foundational piece for next season if they're to make a comeback.
He also he did throw one of his players under the bus, didn't he?
I did not see this.
So there's one play where Sanders makes about 60 yards.
Right.
And at one point you look and Ramsey is just standing watching. Sanders catches the ball, and of course, you know, Sanders is not a slouch.
No.
And he's got 10 yards on Ramsey.
Yeah.
So they asked him about it, and he was like, well, you know, the secondary was supposed to be, you know, was basically messed up.
Right.
And that wasn't part of the play. And if that's so, even then, just, you know, probably shouldn't throw your teammates quite so under the bus so publicly. You know, you can say that, you know, it wasn't.
Is it fair to say he's been extremely disappointed by the team he's joined?
He seems to have taken over Marcus Peters in more ways than one in LA.
It seemed like an odd swap of players, didn't it? Credit for Todd Gurley as well. Tied Marshall Faulk's rushing touchdown franchise record with 58. Yep. So,
and a lovely one as well to the really early on, just to the burst of speed past Sherman.
Yeah, he's only 3.2 yards per carry is not enough for a star player, but at least they've preserved him this season. Next season, hopefully, they'll get the balance of playing him right, because they didn't play him enough at the start of this season. There's no point preserving him if you're not going to make the playoffs. So they've got to get that right. This was one I'm pleased to see. Brandon Cook's first score since week two.
Yes.
You know, having recovered from being killed in London. sacrificed for the second time in his NFL career, at least. So, you know, I thought that was good. He's also joined as wide receivers there with Robert Woods, who became the first Rams player with consecutive 1,000-yard seasons since Torrey Holt.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. He was a hell of a player.
Absolutely. So, I thought... and Jared Goff, first Rams quarterback with consecutive 4,000-yard passing seasons ever. Other Rams quarterback has done that. Not Kurt Warner. No one.
Kurt Schwarmer.
Yeah, Kurt Schwarmer. Considering we've been down on Goff this season, I know it's a passing league. I know it's easier to rack up the stats, but he must be doing something right. I'm just saying. I mean, on the day, what was he? 27 of 46, 323 yards, two touchdowns and a pick. That's not a bad day.
No, and I think I've been more negative than others about him. And he's not bad a lot of the time. He's disappointing.
He's disappointing. He's not been good enough this year.
I do worry for the Rams next year. They've spent a lot of money on a core which is misfiring.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see whether Sean McVay can rein them back in. He seemed to be doing that, and they left it. We said last week they left it a game too late, and they probably had.
Yeah.
Whether or not he can carry on and reshape the team rather than rebuild it.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's a Super Bowl hangover or whether it's just that they ascended very quickly and perhaps they just weren't quite ready, including the coach.
Possibly. Yeah, who's that guy that flew too close to the sun?
Icarus.
Icarus, yeah.
The Rams are like Icarus.
Okay. On plastic wings. but no, they do, because they have big contracts next year for Goff.
Yep.
Goff, Gurley, Donald, Cooks.
Yep.
Three of those guys have had disappointing years. I mean, Donald probably will be Defensive Player of the Year, even though I don't think he should be this year, but he's still brilliant. But they, you know, they're also going to have to try and replace Whitworth in the offensive line. There's a couple of players in the offensive line, and Dante Fowler. Can they afford to keep him?
Do you remember before the season started the trouble that surrounded the 49ers keeping Robbie Gould, their kicker? He wanted to go back to the Bears.
Yeah, yeah.
His family still live in Chicago and they wouldn't let him go. This is why. Because he's missed kicks this season. He missed a kick in this game, I believe. But he is clutch at the end and there are only half a dozen clutch kickers in the league now.
Yeah.
Look at the difficulty the Patriots have had replacing Gostkowski. Gostkowski misses kicks. He misses PATs like every other week.
Yeah.
But in the clutch situations, brilliant. And look at the downfall of the Colts when Vinatieri went from being clutch to being you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, me.
Yeah. Whoa. Chase.
Yeah. I think Robbie Gould is one of those clutch kickers, and the Niners have done the right thing by the team, if not by him, in forcing him to stay and play, and it seems to have worked out in their favour.
Yeah, right. he could have a ring out of this.
There was an upset, though. The Niners are now in control of their destiny.
Yes.
In the NFC West, because the Seahawks, who were top and leading the way, they slipped up. They slipped up big, 27-13 against the Cardinals, or Ravens Light, as we'll now be calling them. this was a, you know, it wasn't a massive upset because the Cardinals have been competitive, but in this game and the nature and what it represented, this was a big, big slip up for Pete Carroll's men.
Oh God, yeah, it's the Cardinals have shown glimpses of so what, but the Seahawks should be well ahead of this team, and it's a big fuck up to not beat them.
Well, that is certainly one way of putting it. I thought this was a tale of two running games, really. Kenyon Drake is going to get paid.
Yeah.
Because he is David Johnson 2.0 for the Cardinals. And good for him.
Do you reckon they...
166 yards and two touchdowns.
Should the Cardinals be going to Bruce Arians? Hey, do you want David Johnson back?
Well, do you know what? If I was the Bucks, I would take him. Because I don't think he's as bad as the numbers show. I just think the situation needs to change. A lot of players get to that. So, yes, hopefully he will move. But Kenyon Drake, 166 yards, two touchdowns. He had, 20 yards receiving as well, 18 yards receiving as well. Maybe needs to work on that a little more. But as a rusher, he's been outstanding in his half a dozen games he's played there. He even allowed Brett Hundley to look good.
Yeah.
Because the Seahawks were so concerned with where Kenyon Drake was that they allowed Brett Hundley to rush for 35 yards on six attempts, which was enough to get the team down the field and score again.
Yeah.
I was astounded, frankly, that this game ended this far apart. This is only their Seahawks' second two-score defeat of the season.
I was going to say, it's not like the Seahawks to lose by more than a score anyway.
Nope.
Just generally, Pete Carroll teams don't do that. Cliff Klinkernuts has...
Cliff Klinkernuts has done an extremely good
job. Really is a good job this year.
He's like the opposite of Zach Taylor. I'm so impressed by Cliff Klinkernuts. From the fact that right up front, he said, I will come and coach you, but you've got to pick Kyler Murray. You've got to use your first pick again.
Yeah.
To, I will do a good way of playing with the players you've got.
Well done. And, Rosen has shown that he is not the talent we hoped he would be, I guess, so far.
I think that's fair.
Miami, so.
Do you know who the last rookie quarterback to win in Seattle was? It was 2011.
Oh, bloody hell. 2011, Cam?
Andy Dalton
was
the last rookie quarterback to win in Seattle. So that in itself, you know, it's great for the Cardinals to have an answer.
Yeah.
And delighted for him. The Seahawks running game.
Yeah.
Chris Carson's broken his arm off at the shoulder. CJ Procise hit out with a hip injury.
And a talent deficiency.
So they have re-signed Marshawn Lynch for the playoffs.
Yes.
He could be amazing.
He
could be fat. Now, Matthew Lynch doesn't know where we're recording this, so I get to say that he could be fat with no concern that he might chase me down. I'm really hoping it's beast mode, not feast mode.
Yeah. I'm sure it's probably going to be in between and it's going
to
be.
Do you
not
remember
much.
When Nigel Mansell came back to Formula One and didn't fit in a McLaren?
They had to bash it with a. Hammer.
I just got this concern that he might not be very good. Don't want that.
Do you remember when Neil Razor-Ruddock started playing for Swindon back in the, this was, I think, the English second division, or what is now the League Two? And he couldn't play for the first, I think, four games because they had to order him specially made shorts from
his enormous backside.
For his enormous arse.
They could have just sewn three pairs together. That probably would have done it. But yeah, I mean,
I'm sure it's not going to be like that. But I, you know,
I'm not a fan of players coming back. No, when they should. I mean, really, playing for the Raiders wasn't the best. But you know, he went out the way he wanted to go out. Yeah. Coming back. I mean, what's the best that can happen? You're going to get into the playoffs, and then they won't give you the ball, and you won't run it in, and you won't score. I'm just saying, it's entirely possible. Right, the Patriots Saturday night. The Saturday night, yeah, not Thursday night at all. Saturday night. It throws me when they play on a Saturday night. They played the Bills in New England, 17-24 in favor of New England in the end. The Bills could have won this game. The Patriots did win this game.
Yep.
This was as close as I ever want AFC East matchups to be. I didn't enjoy it at all. I didn't feel that the Patriots' defense is anywhere near as good as it has been, but that is possibly down to the fact Josh Allen is better than most people credit him. And we have to say the Patriots' 11th consecutive AFC East title, which is the longest streak in a division in NFL history.
Yeah, it's, you know, whatever.
They did it again. I mean, Brady, 271 yards, a touchdown, no picks, 4 rushing yards, always important.
Yeah. Hell of a block.
Now, you were saying, as other people have pointed out, Brady was, he's having a great game. Everyone's delighted. He's turning around. You and I both sat there saying he just looks old and slow.
Apart from when he was doing that short run to get the block.
The block was amazing. Was it Tre'Davious White? He's been one of the best defensive players of the season. And he properly threw a block, dived in shoulder first and took him completely out of the play.
I like the fact he stands up and has a look, though.
Yeah, I'm going to be on a highlight tape for that. Also, if you get blocked by Brady, you should have to go off the field. You should substitute yourself off, get into your civilian clothes and drive away.
Have to put a public apology on your Facebook page.
Imagine being blocked by Tom Brady. That's amazing.
But, stats-wise, I think there's a difference between stats and watching the game. And I thought, watching the game, I thought he looked like a 40, still very good.
He looked like a 42-year-old man who knows he's only got one receiver.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But stats-wise, it looks great. But this is another part of part of the season where they've had their brief
blip,
flirt with, you know, oh my god, no, they're rubbish again, the dynasty is over. They've had that and they're ramping it back up, and
it's not happening.
Only on defense, they're still going.
They could still advance in the playoffs, but as soon as they get into a shootout, they're in trouble, because they're like going into a shootout with a knife.
Yeah, it's each playoff game is going to have to be like last year's Super Bowl. They're going to have to win it. Like 12-3.
Defense and special teams.
Yeah.
It's going to be key. Rex Burkhead played very well. 4 receptions for 77 yards, 5 rushes for 20 yards. The problem with when Rex Burkhead plays well is that New England's best weapon is James White.
Yes.
And he doesn't get to play well when Rex Burkhead plays well. He averages something like 30 yards per game less when Rex Burkhead is scoring more than 50 total yards. And that's because they just steal snaps off each other. They're almost too similar, like the black and white version of each other. And you almost don't. Yeah, I just wish Rex Burkhead was a receiver and not a running back. So, you know, on the day, James White, 4 receptions for 24 yards, 3 rushes for 5 yards. And he's been our second best player behind Edelman all season.
Yeah.
So it's a concern. Do you know the Patriots, including last season's playoffs, are 17-0 when Sony Michel rushes for 60 or more yards?
Doesn't surprise me, because when he does, he's...
Yeah,
brilliant.
96 yards in this game, which extends our basically season-long streak of having no 100-yard rushes. 96 yards in this game, and it takes the pressure off Brady. We absolutely have to have a run game.
Yeah. No, it does. And, you know, it's a really good defensive guy in Buffalo to get 96 yards.
Absolutely.
It's not nothing to sniff at, mate.
No, I think they've only given up 2 100-yard rushes all season.
Yeah.
So, they've played well. Cole Beasley. There's a man that deserves some credit. Cole Beasley is just the second player with 100 receiving yards against the Patriots this season. Do you know who the other one was? You should.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think now, because I'm trying to think who you played. Not Hopkins, is it?
No. I think it was Golden Tate.
Oh, really?
I think so. I'm fairly sure we played them earlier in the season.
Yeah, we did.
And I believe it was Golden Tate.
Yeah.
So well done him.
He's very good.
And Allen was just the second quarterback with 2 passing touchdowns against the Patriots this season. The other one was Deshaun Watson the other week when we got absolutely mown apart by the Texans. But yeah, Beasley, 100-plus receiving yards in 2 of his last 4 games. How many of these games did he have in his previous 114 career games?
I mean, can't be many.
No, it's not many. How many do you think?
6.
2. Cole Beasley coming to the fore there, and yeah, why not? Look, the Bills team, they're gonna be 5th seed in the AFC.
And that was playing with an elite Dak Prescott.
Yeah, the Bills team going to be the 5th seed. No one's going to want to play them.
No.
Because you could easily lose this team. What we saw the John Brown play, where all of a sudden he was just free and wandering about in one of the best secondaries we've seen in years.
Yeah.
And Allen has the arm to find him. He doesn't very often overthrow now.
No, he
picks him out.
Well, it's what we said at the start of the season. It's easier to make a
cannon accurate,
than it is to make an accurate guy a cannon.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think they really are showing progression with him. And could we just mention the fat guy touchdown as well?
Yeah, go for gold. You mentioned the fat guy touchdown. I know you feel better about that.
Is it Dawkins?
It was Deion Dawkins.
First man to score for the Bills from a receiving touchdown this year and last season as well.
Yeah, which you wouldn't expect from a man like Deion Dawkins. Dawson Knox, the tight end, continues to impress me for the Bills.
Yep.
You know, you've got to defend him. I think that's what you've got to say about him. You've got to defend him. He looks like a red zone threat, which opens up the space for Beasley, which is what's made him so effective. So it's just worth noting. I don't think anyone's going to want to play the Bills at all. They could be a trip up for anybody, even the Ravens, because they're the closest thing to matching the Ravens.
They played each other recently, didn't they?
They did.
Even this then.
It was a close game.
Close game. So,
Okay. So, Texans, Bucks.
Yeah.
Texans 23, Bucks 20. The ultimate Jameis game.
Oh,
the ultimate. Just some people we know started Jameis in the final of their fantasy.
Yeah.
Oh, don't do that.
No. Oh.
Don't do that. Jameis Winston, 4 interceptions on the day. 4 interceptions.
Just.
And his 6th pick 6 of the season. Do you know how many he had in his first 4 years? Pick 6s in his first 4 years as a starter?
I don't know.
4. One a season. He's thrown 6 pick 6s this season. He's now all time, well, since 1950, I think he's number 40 in pick 6s thrown. Do you know who number 1 is? Drew Brees, because he's just played forever. But already Winston, he's only played 5 years. He's up to number 40. This is incredible. Look, the ultimate Jameis game. I love to watch him play, but this is the 4th time this season that he's thrown an opening drive pick.
Yeah.
And then he went and threw one on the second drive as well.
Yeah.
It just. You know, he's on for... Does he need one more? Or is he on for now 30 touchdowns, 30... He's certainly on for 30 touchdowns and 30 turnovers. I think he needs one more interception for 30 interceptions. But he's also lost 6 or 7 fumbles.
Yeah.
So, the old 30 for 30 game is still on here with Jameis.
And
the thing is, you'd never think that they're out of any game. Because he still looks like he's got a ridiculous number of yards and touchdowns in him.
Well... The whole time, he's thinking 4 picks, but it's fine because he has got 450 yards in him, legitimately. You know, he did it the 2 previous games.
Yeah, absolutely. The Texans clinched the AFC South for the 4th time in 5 seasons. They're dominating that division at the moment. They're, you know, doing everything they can to be a force there. In the end, Jameis ended up, his total read for the game was 335 yards and a touchdown and 4 picks. But my favourite stat that I saw about him, at the end of the first quarter, 3 of 9, 18 yards, 0.72 fantasy points. Wow. That is not good. Watson didn't have a great game himself. Watson went 19 of 32, 184 yards, and an interception.
He actually outscored fantasy-wise
by Jameis. But they didn't have to do anything.
Jameis had done the job for him.
Jason Pierre-Paul had a good game for the Bucks defense. We've not said his name all season.
Nope.
So round of applause for him. Very quiet round of applause. Three sacks against the Texans, which has tied a career high for sacks in a single game.
Well, if you're going to do it against anyone, probably do it against the Texans.
Well, yeah. Do you know what? Their O-line has been, I'm racking my brain, I think it's the fifth best graded O-line this season.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which shows you that it works. You've got to make these big deals. Impressive stuff, really. Jameis has 300 passing yards in 11 games this season. 300 or more passing yards, which is the most in the NFL. Because he's always having to make up for massive errors. Don't re-sign him. It's a mistake. You're never going to the Super Bowl with Jameis Winston.
Well, the thing is, if you're going to re-sign him, just don't throw big money at him.
No.
That's the thing. Like,
or tell him every time he throws a pick, you're taking $1 million back.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, say we would give you $30 million a year, Jameis, but you know, we need you've shown you need a running back, so we're going to take the $15 million out of your fee and give it to David Johnson, you know.
Yeah, why not? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. In the absence of Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, you'd think the Bucs would struggle to move the ball, but Breshad Perriman had another great game, 7 receptions, 102 yards. He's had more yards this season with the Bucs than he's had in his last 4 seasons. It's absolutely insane.
Winston elevates players.
Does in my ass. there's lots of things I stand for on this podcast. That is not one of them. I worry about the Texans' lack of consistency going into the playoffs. I don't.
Yeah.
I would say you get more trouble out the Bills than you will out the Texans.
Yeah. They're so hard to get a grip on, the Texans. And I think consistency will mean more. But it's fine. Right. Should we move on to the Tetons?
The Tetons. Who started like a house on fire.
Yeah.
And do you know what their problem was? They started, they got scores up, they had no Derrick Henry to just run the clock down, and they kept giving the ball back to the Saints. And if you keep giving Drew Brees the ball, he'll keep throwing it to Michael Thomas, 145 receptions, and
yep,
you will lose the game, which is exactly what happened. It really hurt them not having Derrick Henry.
It did. In a way, I can understand it, because you aren't going to expect to beat the Saints. And having a Derrick Henry back next week will really do them a world of good. Having a Derrick Henry rested, no long, hopefully not having the hamstring issues. Oh, but yeah, there were times when I was like, oh, I really, I mean, for one, I lost my game again because there was no Derrick Henry fit. But yeah,
it was 14-0 to the Titans at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah.
And then they kind of went backwards. They gave up 31 points before they scored again. And this is not on Tannehill. It's just the fact that you need a balanced game to beat a team like the Saints. It was going to be a struggle to beat them anyway.
Yeah.
Tannehill still had a really good game. It's 17 of 27, 272 yards and 3 touchdowns with no picks.
Yep.
That's a game-winning performance most weeks. But you're playing Drew Brees, 27 to 38, 279 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. And you're also playing Taysom Hill, who threw a pass, caught a pass, and rushed for 2 carries as well, for 11 yards.
Yeah.
So you're sort of, he's just the all-round weapon. I really like seeing him. But I tell you what I did enjoy seeing this week was Alvin Kamara.
Back
to some sort of form. 11 carries, 80 yards, 2 touchdowns, 7.3 yards an attempt. And I think he did well in the passing game as well. Yep, 6 receptions for 30 yards. This is his first score since week 2.
Yeah.
And the first time he scored 2 in a game since midway through last season, I believe.
Yeah.
So it was about time that he turned up, and turned up big. You know, the Saints are looking to lock up the number one seed. They're going to have to play hard again next week because the 49ers can actually beat them to it, I believe.
Yeah.
Or the Seahawks.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Depending on which way it goes. Yeah. I think the 49ers. But yeah, I mean, Look, if you've got Michael Thomas, you've got the ultimate weapon, 136 yards on 12 receptions. Jared Cook deserves a little bit of credit.
Yeah, both tight ends.
Yeah, so Jonnu Smith I noted down as well, because they've both been excellent for their teams. Jared Cook, 3 receptions, 84 yards, 2 touchdowns. And Jonnu Smith, who, let's not forget, came in as the number 2 tight end for the Titans this season, is now undisputably the number 1, 3 receptions, 63 yards for a touchdown on 4 targets.
Yeah.
I think these teams are probably more closely matched than 38-28 shows. I'd say it's a field goal, usually, to split these two teams. And they've both been equally impressive. Let's not forget, the Saints had no breeze for 4 weeks, 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Didn't skip a beat. And, nope. And the Titans have transitioned from one quarterback to another and only got better. It will be a shame for me if the Titans miss out on the playoffs. They do not deserve to miss out. And I mean, again, they're going to go 9-7. They almost always go 8-8 or 9-7. But they've played so much better than that since.
Yeah.
Imagine if they'd started Tannehill week one.
Well, it's just the fact that if they don't, it's the Steelers. And the Steelers are like really great defensively.
But they're going to suck.
They are poor. They are a poor team. So I'd love to see the Titans go in.
I think it's win and in for the Titans on the final day, because their strength of schedule will be better than the Steelers. So I believe it's win and in for the Titans.
Well, go on. Go on, Titans, because that's what I want to see. But
another team who still have playoff hopes, just, are the Raiders. They needed 10 things over the final 2 weeks to go their way.
And they've got
5 of 5 in week one went their way. It was, God sent a plague of frogs.
Yeah,
Philip Rivers pooed the bed. Your mum and dad moved house. That's all. It all needed to happened in unison.
It happened all in the same. like if you were to put a bet on it, just the, I think like a 10-point play parlay or something.
Yeah, they needed the Steelers and the Titans to lose.
Yeah,
and that was key. That's what they got. So, they're in the lap of the gods. They still have to win next week and hope everybody else loses again. But it's entirely possible. And they beat the Chargers handily, 24-17, without Josh Jacobs again, because the injury is just too much.
Yeah.
They're going to need him back for the playoffs, so if they're going to make it, they might as well keep him fit. And I thought Derek Carr had one of his best games of the season.
Yeah.
First rushing touchdown since week 2 or 3, or certainly his only second rushing touchdown of the season. But turnover free, and generally effective, leading the team up and down the league. Hunter Renfrow just turning into an excellent weapon for him. That chemistry is really good for them. And they were helped by the fact that Melvin Gordon is a disgrace for a running back for the Chargers. He was terrible in this game. He was averaging a Paul Farrow-esque 6 inches a carry or something ridiculous. I haven't got it in front of me because I was so offended by it, I didn't write it down. But look, the Chargers, Philip Rivers is now just an average at best quarterback. They need a good running back. They've got Melvin Gordon, who thinks he's the bee's knees, and he isn't. He's not the bee's knees at all. He's just an average dude. He's 9 attempts, 15 yards, 2 touchdowns. All right, you've got your scores, but you're only averaging 1.7 yards a carry. Come on now. That's not enough. And also, the fact that they only gave him 9 attempts to carry the ball.
He did have 6 catches.
4.
32 yards.
Yeah, which is nothing.
Nah.
It's not good enough. This is not the Melvin Gordon from the last couple of seasons, is it?
No, I think he knows he's on his way out as well.
Do you think he cares? Because I don't think. I think he's one of the players that's given up on this team.
I don't
see the effort at all.
I don't think he likes being in LA.
Okay.
Particularly from his comments afterwards, he's like, he's really glad that that's, I think, the last game in Carson. Even then,
yes, it was. Yeah, you're right.
Even then, because it wasn't, it's not a home game for them. There's, because of the LA history with the Raiders, the Raiders had more fans, and they were, the Chargers were booed as they
because no one goes to watch them.
It's so, what are they going to do with a 80,000 seat stadium next year?
They're going
to
suck, is what they're going to do. Philip Rivers is on his way out of there, right?
Yeah, should be.
If who not, was the last first round quarterback drafted by the Chargers?
Breeze?
Eli Manning, when they swapped him for Philip Rivers in 2004.
Yeah.
They're going to have to start all over again. And I don't think this organisation is the sort of organisation that's ready for this. Like, they can't even get their own fans to turn up at their home stadium. If you pick the wrong quarterback to lead your next generation of talent, they're in so much trouble. There'll be no one there to watch them fall apart.
No, and it's LA likes winners, and Rams were on to something last season.
Yes,
but that it, you know, they've built a stadium for the Olympics. You know, they want to bring the Olympics back to LA, and you can't. You know, they can't fill out 30,000 seats at, in the suburbs. Oh, yeah, it's got it.
It's got disaster written all over
this,
it.
This has got, yeah, I think if they could get back to San Diego, they should take them. Anyway, the Packers.
Ah, the Packers, who've secured their playoff spot.
They did. If you lost your fantasy final this week, at least the Packers did well for you.
Well, yeah.
In one case, at least.
Yeah, poor old Duncan. Did lose, did start Jameis in the final. But he got to see the Packers wrapping it up for the playoffs. Primetime Kirk Cousins, 0-9 in primetime games.
Yeah.
It wasn't good on the day. One touchdown, one pick, but just no yards at all.
No yards.
120-odd yards.
No Cook.
Yeah, that made the massive difference. We won't put this all on Kirk Cousins, because having no Dalvin Cook meant no rushing game. And actually, they'd done all right when he'd been spelled by Mattison and Boone.
Yep.
But nothing. And I don't know whether it's because... This is my theory. Hear it out. Cook's been doing the hard yards in the first 2 to 2.5 quarters and really wearing the opposing defences out. And then the backups come in and just pick up where he leaves off.
Yeah.
And when those backups had to play against fresh defences, they were just nobodies.
And I can see that.
And then Kirk is not able to make up for that deficiency, because he is, like so many of the others, like we were saying with Tannehill, etc., a balance quarterback. He needs a running game.
Yeah.
And he didn't have it on this day. And it showed. But
on the other side,
Aaron Jones. Oh. What a stud. Oh. Stud running back.
Super.
Been one of the best running backs of the season.
Oh, definitely.
I can't think anybody Elite. Would think otherwise.
Elite.
He's absolutely brilliant. I believe he had 136 yards, I believe.
Yeah.
It was excellent on the day. look, the Vikings are in sixth spot. They will be going into the playoffs. Yeah. I think if they get Dalvin Cook back, they're still going to trouble a lot of teams.
Oh, yes.
But that is a big if, because we don't know that they're getting Dalvin Cook back. We just assume that they're holding him out on, and the chances are good. But whether he'll be the same player, I don't know. If he's not, then this team isn't a threat to anybody, as far as I can tell. The Packers fumbled 4 times in this game. I think they lost 2 of them, which is a concern. But other than that, they were fairly rhythmical. They didn't have to overdo it in this game. And they've been able to win ugly this season, which is good for a team that hadn't been able to do that in the last few seasons. So, again, I think it's been all progress for the Packers this season. The LaFleur system's slowly getting in. And Rodgers, you have not heard once this season Rodgers kick up.
Nope.
We've not been reporting on it. No one's been reporting on it. So that is in itself a great benefit to this team.
No, it's not free flowing. And you know, it's not like watching Kansas, a lot of the teams, but now they're doing it. Plus I like watching teams grind out a win, and you know, they're doing it very well.
Devontae Adams hitting his stride at the right time in the season.
He could have done it a couple of weeks earlier for me, for my fantasy.
13 receptions, 116 yards. I did Jones a disservice. It's 154 yards and 2 touchdowns.
There you go.
So
when you've got Jones and Adams, you stand a chance no matter what happens. So
The Packers are definitely, I think, going to be one of the most disruptive teams in the playoffs, because no one's talking about them winning it all, and I don't know why. I mean, they have the experience.
Who wants to go to Lambeau?
Absolutely no one. Well, I mean, I go and watch. But you know what? You want to go and play in Lambeau? Oh, no.
Oh, no. So,
do you know the last time that Rodgers threw an interception and no touchdowns in a game? Because that's what he did in this game.
Maybe in a game he got injured, I don't know, but yeah.
He did it once last season, week 14.
Okay.
But in the last 5 years, they are the only 2 times he's done that. Thrown an interception and no touchdown.
He's very good.
Is he?
He is.
Not bad for a game manager.
Yeah, I still like him. I think he's great.
Patrick Mahomes looked back to his old self as he evaded the Chicago pass rush and led the Chiefs to a dominant win, 26-3 over the toothless Bears.
Yeah. Can the season end like a couple of weeks ago for the Bears?
Well, I think it did. I think it ended weeks and weeks ago. It did,
but, you know, like, just why bother turning up at the moment?
Yeah, this win means that a win in Week 17 and a Patriots loss to the Dolphins, which almost always happens, we'll see Kansas as the 2 seed in the AFC because they have the tiebreaker over New England. So there's everything to play for in the last week for all these teams, which is actually fairly exciting, keeps it alive for everybody. Harrison Butker continues to be a brilliant kicker, but he double-doinked an extra point this week, which really takes some doing.
Yeah.
How do you double-doink an extra point?
I don't know, but yeah. It had no effect,
Mahomes trolling the Bears...
Yeah,
was quite a highlight. You know, counting out the number of picks that he was taking after Trubisky. Mahomes averaged 3 yards per pass more than Trubisky, which just sums up the difference between the two.
Yeah.
And I'd say that's probably the smallest the gap has been in their time together. yeah, I think Kansas are hitting their stride at the right time. Their running game still is nothing fantastic, but when you're constantly having to put extra safeties and corners on the field to defend against Mahomes,
yeah.
There's always going to be some space for running backs, even if they're not playing well, that it's going to be a position they can exploit. And as soon as they exploit that, you have to put another man back in the box, and then Mahomes picks you apart. Also, this is the best Mahomes has looked since he's come back from his injury.
Yeah, he's getting better each week, isn't he?
Did you watch him dance around Khalil Mack like he wasn't there?
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, he couldn't do that. And the whole team is hitting their form at the right time in the season. Frighteningly enough, you'd say Kansas... definitely have the edge over New England and behind only Baltimore in the AFC.
The only thing that the other teams have that Kansas don't have, Kansas don't have a Belichick. They have Andy Reid, but Andy Reid does get to the playoffs and loses quite a lot. So
yeah,
even Harbaugh, you know, has been there, done it. Andy Reid.
Who would you take, Andy Reid or Harbaugh? I'd take Harbaugh.
I'd take Andy Reid regular season, and I'd take Harbaugh postseason.
Yeah, you've got to take one player to coach 19-game season.
Harbaugh, but it's a tough decision. I think they're both great.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I'd take Harbaugh, I think, just as an aside. Right. There's a roundup of some shit games.
Yeah, Jags 12, Falcons 24.
Yeah, Julio's biggest game of the year by far.
He was a monster.
Absolutely. The Falcons scored twice early on without the Jags touching the ball because they actually stripped the Jags on the kickoff.
Yeah.
So Minshew never touched the ball before the Falcons scored twice. And Vic Beasley really improving the Falcons' defense. He's had 6.5 sacks in the last 3 games, and he only had 1 in the first half of the season. So
since the bye week and they changed their coaching around,
yeah,
the Falcons have become
a viable team. Yeah, a viable team. Firing Tom Coughlin at the Jags made no difference.
Absolutely pointless, wasn't it?
Yeah, because they need to fire Doug Marrone because he's rubbish. Panthers 6, Colts 38. What was anything good about the Will Greer debut? 3 interceptions, no touchdowns. Got sacked a bunch.
No, yeah, not great. You know,
what can you say?
They got rid of
turnover-prone Kyle Allen for Will Greer, who turned out to be really turnover-prone. Imagine if we did a fantasy draft and somebody took him in the first round at pick 12 or something. yeah, look, I don't think this is necessarily a reflection on Greer and how he's going to be, but I've never thought of him as a starting quarterback. He never looked like he should be starting quarterback material, and I don't... If it's a choice between keeping him or Allen... Allen's still the better talent for me, even on this one showing. But all of this does mean Cam is more and more likely to be back. And I didn't think halfway through the season that they would bring him back.
No, but yeah, unless they're drafting a quarterback, then yeah, Cam stays because the backups haven't done enough.
And Colts left it a bit late, but 38 points. Naeem Hines, 2 punt returns. For a total of
the fourth best punt return performance of all time.
Was it 84 yards he had? Oh, no, it was more than that. Yeah. One of them was 84 yards.
One of them was 84. I think he had 200 and something punt return yards.
Yeah.
They didn't really realise he was a punt returner until this game.
No, he'd only done it twice all season.
Was it Chester Rogers?
Yep.
The punt returner? Yep. And then suddenly, he scored.
Two punt return touchdowns.
First two punt returns since 2012?
Since 2012, yep.
And you look at the records, the ones above him are, like, I think, 2009. 1950.
Yeah, you know. Not so many. And the Colts added three more rushing touchdowns as well.
Yeah.
Mack back to some form, etc.
It's too late.
And then five sacks, like I say, of Will Greer. Yeah, it's too late. The Panthers' troubles were summed up really by being 4 of 14 on third down.
Yeah.
Even though you've got McCaffrey, who is 60 yards shy of going 1,000 reception yards and rushing yards on the season. So he will break that next week because they will just go out to get him that. But yeah, really, for both these teams, the season's been over for a bit longer than it should have been. I thought the Panthers should have been in light of the AFC, at least as a wild card contender. And really, bearing in mind how they started, I felt the Colts the same. They should have been keeping the Texans within sight. And they've both flattered to do anything with their talents.
We may go back to Steelers here because
it disgusts you that the Steelers are still in the playoff
in an AFC where the Steelers are in sixth place. It's an indication. A, Mike Tomlin is a great coach.
Yep.
The defense,
as Gary would say, defense wins championships.
Yep. And the rest of the AFC has
sucked.
Balls up to not be there, because quite frankly, if they could do it, then what is the Colts' excuse other than, you know, our 48 year old kicker was a bit rubbish?
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, that's it, you know.
Yeah, they needed to make that decision sooner, didn't they? And then they would have been in there. They lost a lot of games by one score. Lions 17, Broncos 27. Philip Lindsay and Big Royce pretty much carved the Lions' rushing defense apart. And Drew Locke 3-1 as a starter, losing only to the Chiefs last week.
Yeah.
Have they solved the quarterback conundrum in Denver?
No.
You don't think?
Only four games in, but it's more promise than you ever saw from Osweiler, Flacco.
Yep.
I've forgotten his name, the guy.
The other Allen.
The other Allen.
Brandon Allen, yeah. Trevor Siemian.
Trevor Siemian. Who is the guy that was really, really bad?
Chad Kelly. He didn't actually play.
Nah,
I don't know. Who are we talking about?
It was one of the Josh DeMarley, and he was really bad.
You mean Lynch.
Paxton Lynch.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was pretty awful.
But yeah.
They did draft him early. First round pick. Oh. Yeah.
But I don't think it's solved yet.
But he will start for them next season?
Yeah.
I think so as well. The only highlight for the Lions was getting Kerryon Johnson back, and he looked decent, 60 yards.
Yeah.
Not bad in a returning game. He's key to them being successful next season.
And let's not forget, Patricia's safe for next season, it seems, but next year he will have fit Kerryon Johnson. He will have Matt Stafford back.
Kerryon Johnson, Matt Stafford, yeah, it's key. I mean,
I think he needs to add another weapon.
They've got Golladay. I mean, I think if they get to the halfway point of next season and they're not above 500, Patricia is gone.
Yeah. I think so. This year he's used his lives, and he's used all his excuses. But I still think they miss Golden Tate.
Yeah, well, I never really understood getting rid of him. We'll have a quick look at the big games from the week coming up. So basically, all the games that have playoff implications.
Okay,
and we'll try and pick them.
Lovely,
because we can. So we'll just quickly go through it. Redskins, Cowboys at the Cowboys. Cowboys have to win.
Cowboys will win. I don't think it will be an easy win because Redskins are scoring points.
I'm gonna throw the spanner in the works straight away and say I think the Redskins would beat them.
I'd love that.
And I think it's all. I think Garrett is fired before the broadcast of the show finishes.
Yeah.
Chargers, Chiefs.
Chiefs
basically for the number two seed.
Chiefs win. Chargers have given up.
Agreed. Absolutely.
The only thing. I don't think Rivers sees this as a retirement game. But
I don't think Rivers does, but I think everybody else does.
I think everyone else does.
So that game directly impacts on Dolphins-Patriots, because if the Patriots lose and the Chiefs win, the Chiefs sew up the two seed, whereas if it's the other way around, or, if the Patriots win or they lose and the Chiefs win, then the Patriots are the two seed.
I think Pats Dolphins, I think Pats win, but not by much.
Well, I think the Dolphins will put up big, big yards, but I think it will come down to how many picks of Fitzmagic there are. Yeah. And this could be either Fitzpatrick's best game of the season or worst game of the season. If we turn him over three times, we'll win the game.
Oh, yeah, I think you will.
And I'm going to pick the Patriots.
I'm going to pick you by like 3 or 5 points.
Yeah, I'm saying it's a field goal. Yeah. But I'm saying most of the offensive points come off pick sixes or massive turnovers that we rush in from 2 yards out.
I say you might win like 2015 or something like that. Yeah. Some ridiculously low score.
I think I'm going to say the Dolphins can put up 30 points, but I just think the only way New England can put up 30 points is just by continually picking him off.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm going to say that it's a higher scoring game than that, but I'm just say the Patriots squeak it. Obviously, affected by the outcome of Redskins Cowboys is Eagles Giants. At the Giants.
Eagles to win. But once again, I don't think it'll be particularly easy, but I do worry that our secondary is bad. Even though they've got no one to throw to, that we generally suck against tight ends. Dallas Goedert is not a bad one. Miles Sanders, I think, might tear us apart.
I'm going to do the same as I did in the first one of these NFC East matchups. I'm going to pick the Giants to win this.
Because that would be a ridiculously tight division if that was the case.
Yes, it would. But I just think Saquon Barkley will be the main focus of defence for the Eagles. And their secondary is also awful. And if Danny Dimes can have a half-decent game, and your wide receivers are currently better than the Eagles' wide receivers, I think you can win it by 7 points.
I'd be happy if that, as long as the Redskins win.
Saints Panthers. Saints looking for that number one seed, locking it up. They will crush the Panthers. Absolutely. By half time, Breeze will be out of the game. They will wrap him in cotton wool.
I'd say the same. They'll
second half of this game, Taysom Hill will quarterback all the way through, and will score a touchdown.
Now Thomas has got his record.
Yeah,
get him out of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. They'll play properly till half time. They'll be 20 points up, and then they'll just wrap it up from there.
Yeah.
Steelers against the Ravens B team. Steelers win and in. As long as Titans don't win, and Colts don't win.
I don't think it matters. I think the Ravens B team wins.
I also think the Ravens B team wins for the same reason we discussed earlier. Titans against Texans. It's in Texas. I think the Titans have left it too late. They should have swapped from Mariota earlier in the season. I think Texas will edge this again.
I'm going to go with a Titans win.
I would love
Derrick Henry back.
He needs one of those three touchdown performances.
I think they've got it in him. So yeah, I'm going to, you know.
So if all those things come true, the Raiders versus Broncos will carry no significance. But let's assume the Titans, Steelers and Colts all lose. The Raiders could win against the Broncos in Denver and go through into the playoffs. The problem is they're playing in Denver. The Broncos are hot. I think the Broncos are winning this game.
I think the Broncos are winning this game as well.
I think Drew Lock has the arm on him to take apart a terrible secondary at the Raiders, and it could be a fairly handy win. I haven't seen anything out of the Raiders' defence that makes me think they can bottle up Philip Lindsay, Courtland Sutton, Deshaun Hamilton. I think the Broncos win this fairly easily. And the big one, Niners Seahawks for, you know, the number two seed in the NFC behind the Saints.
It's in Seattle.
It is in Seattle, and I think Seattle win.
Yeah, so do I.
I think it'll be a slight pointy end for the Niners, but I think Seattle win this.
I think
they are going to be so pissed off having lost to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And Marshawn Lynch, it makes a difference. If he's halfway Marshawn Lynch, the Niners have got to defend him.
It's not like Marshawn Lynch is coming in and replacing a Barkley or a Kamara. Carson's a B-level running back.
Yep.
It's not like he's...
As long as he's fit.
He's fit. I'm sure he's fit. You know, he's... I don't think he'll be the difference maker anyway, but I think...
it's a field goal win for the Seahawks for me.
Yeah, and that's annoying because I think the 49ers have been really great this season. I'd love to have seen him take the
I do wonder if the Niners lose this, whether that deflates them and they are quickly eliminated in the playoffs. I really hope not.
I hope not. I really enjoyed them.
If the Niners don't finish above the Seahawks, then it might deflate their postseason ambitions.
I'm sort of hopeful on Shanahan. Every time I've seen him talk, I quite like him. I think he's. I think they're bizarrely. I think the team have been sort of united recently by the bad news with Bethard and his what's gone on there. I just don't think it's enough. I think they'll lose to the Seahawks, and I think that will. I don't worry for them after that. They need a bye week if they want to make the Super Bowl. Anyway, let's take a knee because it's Christmas, and we want to go get drunk.
It's hard work doing this on our own.
It is. I've had to make opinions rather than just go. Yeah,
gonna have to pretend I like them other guys again.
Oh, jeez. Well, luckily I'll come back with a quiz next week to prove I don't like them. But from us, we hope you have a very merry Christmas, and we will see you next week to discuss the end of the regular season. Until then, goodbye.